It's hard to imagine that this fellow had never even seen a movie when he set out to become the Louis B. Mayer 20th Century Fox Cecil B. DeMille movie mogul of China.
American culture is at the forefront, so their film industry is ahead of ours. But we will gradually catch and overtake them. Right now, there are a ton of crews making movies here. In terms of volume, you could say we've already surpassed Hollywood.
Zhu Wenrong, owner of the giant Hangdian studio outside of Shanghai, can say that about the box office for Chinese films. As of February, domestic box office was $650 million to Hollywood's $640 million. But it's unclear if anyone will remember From Vegas to Macau 2, this month's blockbuster. The Chinese have a few advantages in this competition. They love movies, and there are many more Chinese moviegoers than American moviegoers. Ian Johnson watches movies in Beijing. He's a contributor to the New York Review of Books and The New Yorker.
Well, when I first started going to cinemas in Beijing in the 1990s, they were really nasty affairs. They were old cinemas built in the, I guess, the 1950s or 60s, concrete, dirty, the technology was lousy. But now it's changed dramatically. The cinemas you go to the most of the time are great. They're clean with nice sound and everything. And it's often hard to get a ticket to them because a lot of people want to go to the movies on the weekend.
How frequent are new releases in China? It seems like it's a little bit more like the 1930s in the U.S.
A lot of films come and go in China. They don't have very long run time, so you have to kind of see them or they're gone. I wanted to see a film that just came out called Wolf Totem, which was based on a novel that's been translated and published in the West also. And that film just, maybe it was a maximum 2 weeks out, and I just missed it because it was over the holidays. So you have to be kind of fast off your mark.
How much has the government driven the film industry in China?
Well, the government supports the construction of new cinemas, and they want to use cinema to push soft power, as they call it, sort of cultural power, China's influence around the world. That hasn't really succeeded that well, but I think overall they see this as a strategic industry. They limit the number of foreign films that can come into China, and they promote domestic films.
The box office numbers in China, in some sense, are an obvious result of just numerical superiority in China. What's the price of a ticket, and does China have aspirations to take over the entire world film industry?
Yeah, I think the tickets are fairly pricey. If you go to a high-end cinema in Beijing or Shanghai, it's easily $15 a ticket, which, considering the purchasing power here, is much, much more expensive. That's more like, say, $50 or $60 or even $100. And it basically reflects, I think, a middle-class experience. As for China's desire to conquer the world, I think in terms of the film industry or films, let's say, rather than, say, movie theaters, I think it's going to have a harder time because I think Chinese films are very culturally specific. They're about Chinese stories, Chinese myths. They're about things that don't necessarily translate that well when you get beyond the sort of kung fu costume drama.
And what's it like to be in the Hengdian Studios, the giant lot?
Yeah, that place is enormous, and it's a lot of fun. To get around it, you really need a car, or you can take these buses that they have, and you go from lot to lot. And these lots are sometimes, like any movie lot, when you get up close, the detail isn't that great. But when you look at it from afar, it's just amazing. Like, wow, that's a one-to-one representation of the front hall of the Forbidden City. Or that's a street scene from old Beijing, or several streets all put together, and all kinds of things like that. They've really got something there that's quite interesting. It's very retro in a way, because films are not really made that way anymore in the West. But in China, there's still a business model that makes this work.
You think there's a one-to-one representation of the Oval Office there somewhere at the Hengdian Studios?
No, I don't think so. But they are planning a full-off one-to-one representation of this famous palace that Westerners destroyed in the 19th century. And so this definitely also has sort of nationalistic overtones that we're rebuilding it here, you know, to make movies about it. So it's quite an imaginative thing. And it really is the vision of this one guy down there who just decided that this was an industry that he wanted to be a part of.
This is Zhu Wenrong?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And he had no interest in movies. And when the first director came there looking desperately for a set, and he had met the guy and said, I can build this lot for you. And they came down and he said, well, what's your favorite movie? He had said, I've never seen a movie in my life before. And the director left kind of discouraged, thinking, I don't want to do business with this guy. But he was so desperate for a lot that he went ahead and signed a contract. And within a few months, he built this enormous lot for him and then just kept building them. And he builds the lots for free and then makes the money off the services, the lighting, the extras, the catering, and all that stuff.
Once again, a Chinese business model like no other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where else, right?
Ian Johnson has contributed to the New York Review of Books and the New Yorker, reporting on the movie industry in Beijing, which has just surpassed in box office Hollywood. Thanks so much, Ian.
Thanks a lot.